the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 169 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. We have crossed over the halfway point of the 2013 calendar. I hope you enjoyed your July 4th. Let's talk about that, the world of sports, and the world in general. Starting off with my main man seated to my immediate right from NFL.com, it's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Another glorious day. We're outside the 4th of July holiday.
It's sunny out, huh?
We're getting closer, too, to the season.
I know it. NFL season is it, when you say it's nigh, that means it's like a day away, right? Or it's like right around the corner. So I don't want to say it's almost nigh, but I feel like that's... You shouldn't say that.
Shouldn't say nigh, no.
Almost nigh.
Almost nigh.
I don't think you can say
that's
something
almost
like.
Wrong.
How was July 4th for you? You spent it in Las Vegas, yes?
I did.
Yeah, good fun?
Always a good time out there.
How hot was it out there?
It was warm, even for somebody who was raised in a desert-like community. It started to get a little warm at some point.
But did it go across 120?
No, I don't think so.
No, not quite, that's not too bad for July, August, for July in Vegas.
No. Yeah, it's good. But I was in a pool for most of the time, so it doesn't matter.
Meantime, the sun is a blazing orb in the sky, and it's plum glorious in my book. No humidity for the most part in Southern California. It's just that sun. It radiates on your skin. Actually, that doesn't sound good, radiating on your skin isn't something you want. All right, listen. Enough about the weather. We have a lot of sports to kibitz about. A good show lined up. A great one lined up, and Vikings fans, I think, in particular, are going to enjoy this one because we have Jared Allen, number 69, the great defensive end, of course, of your Vikings, coming up in just a few minutes, and then a guy who just parted ways with the Minnesota Vikings and has now caught on with the Oakland Raiders, punter and social activist to boot, Chris Cluey. So a gangbuster show, as I say. Meantime, we are going to do a blacklist here. A few things to talk about. Let's say hello to the other people joining us. First of all the way from England. There he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm even better because you brought in some nice cherries.
Yes, I did. I wanted to share. I've become addicted to cherries at this time of year. I love fruit in Southern California, by the way.
Yeah.
That's another thing the sun does very well here. And so I thought I'd bring some, share them with you guys.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I even if you said no, I still was going to tell it to you. Yes, fruit is, this is the time for fruit. You know,
yeah.
This is, you know, the Academy Awards, they always sort of, people release movies that want to be contenders for Academy Awards, typically in November and December, so that they're fresh on the mind. That's not the way when Dameshek, at the end of each year, hands out the Shekies. Fruit, that's in the rearview mirror because it was summertime where it had its prime. And let me just say this. Cherries, very good.
Making a strong push.
Strawberries have been good so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind telling you. Apples, you got some work to do. But I know that like they, you know, just like movies that are released mm-hmm. in November, apples make their push right at the right time of the year. But can I tell you what's been delicious so far? It has had a delicious 2013. The peach. A white
yes.
peach.
Oh, the white peach is a great this
It's been
year.
Terrific. It's been yep. really good. So it's exciting, and we're at the halfway point. Don't worry. Apple aficionados, oranges, tangerines, and so on. You still have half a year yet to go here. Also, let's say hello. The only wrap I put on the cherry is I don't like that pit. Mm. And I know a peach has a pit and an apple has the core, but it's that when you eat one, you only eat one, so what's your leftover, you only have to do one throw to the garbage can.
Right.
Every cherry, every single one, I got to end with, I got to throw it in the garbage. You know? I don't
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like the spitting. I like to like that with them.
I'm telling you, Handsome Hank, you should have been born. I feel bad for you almost that you were born in England because your way is so, you know, you're like from the old West. You're a pioneer.
That's right.
You know, you really, you should have been born in Wyoming in,
are we so
in
sure,
1858
though?
Or something and been, you should have been a gunslinger
yep,
or something.
That's right.
You know?
Do you mind, can I just interrupt you while I put a wad of tobacco in my lip?
Are we so sure that he is British? Remember a couple of episodes ago? Came up and the question about Handsome Hank's identity and true origin was questioned. So I don't know if we
I would be, you know, for, you know, unlike Robert Kraft, I would celebrate being duped in this case. I like by the way, I have enjoyed the use of the little herd duped. We don't use you know, what hoodwinked. He could have gone with
it.
He's
like a Scooby-Doo villain. You've been duped.
That's exactly. It's a funny choice to go bamboozled. That's another good one. All right, let's also say hello from around the league. Of course, you enjoy his work on the Debate Club most of the time. Of course, he was absent, though, last week, and some other people jumped in for him. He's back now, though, one half of the Debate Club. It's Mark Sessler. What's the poop with you, fella?
Well, I've learned a lot about hand fruit. In the last couple of minutes, but
hand
fruit that you would hold with your hands versus a gigantic pineapple or something.
But is that not a hand fruit?
Is that not what we call
it?
Hand
fruit? I've never heard that before.
Do you hold a giant pineapple and just
you could do?
No, you must cut it and then walk around.
Wait a second. You cannot now ask a rhetorical question as though we've all been in. Like, how did you guys not know? Wait, don't we all call them hand fruit? That's what you just said.
I basically am.
You've
curious as to why no one's walking around using hand fruit as a term.
I think
term.
You need to embrace it, and you need to spearhead this movement. I love it.
The other thing about Henry, the guy every day to a T rolls in with finely chopped, carved foods in Tupperware bins. I don't know another guy in the office who's nearly organized enough to pull this off. You must be getting some help.
I'm getting no help at all. It's a matter of literally taking cherries, transferring them into Tupperware and then putting a lid on them.
Yeah, but Jesse James didn't do
that.
Jesse James and Butch Cassidy and whoever else, they didn't do anything like that. They didn't have
their Tupperware. Well, I'm not going to put it in my pockets.
Well, they would.
I don't have a horse to put them in the saddlebag, so I went with the next best thing.
All right, we have to get to, like I say, a blacklist, and we have two good guests lined up for you, so much to do. But quickly, Black Tie wants me to mention that, and he's right for bringing this up. We got a great tweet last week, and it ended up producing a piece that I worked on with a couple of the researchers here at the NFL Network. JJ and Bill, shout out to them putting it together. The question was, what if the Pro Bowl weren't played between the two conferences, but instead there was a tournament among the divisions? It yielded a thing, and Black Tie, we're promoting the fact that your tweets can then turn into something for us. In other words, we want you to do a lot of the work for us.
Exactly.
Give us ideas because we're out.
That's what I'm about.
Specifically, you need to do the work that Black Tie should be doing.
Right.
Coming up with ideas.
Looking for fan producers is what we're doing here,
yes.
Guys.
And also at NFL.
Ed Barker was the one, by the way, who tweeted
from
the
UK.
Question.
Yes, he was.
At
yes,
Ed Barker on
yeah.
Twitter.
Use the
hashtag anybody but black tie.
you can still look that up at NFL.com/Shek. Also at NFL.com, the greatest uniform in NFL history bracket tournament continues. It's the second round currently. Get in there and vote. An interesting thing from that is right now in the throwback, I chose the 32 teams, the current uniforms they wear, and then I chose my favorite throwback for each one. In the throwback, in the NFC throwback region, mm-hmm. Separated by 7 votes right now. I think it's 40-some thousand people have voted for either side. The 94-49ers against the Falcons of the late 60s. Listen, do the right thing. Vote for the Falcons. Those 94-49ers uniforms were terrible. The white pants. You don't wear white pants with a gold hat and a red shirt. It looks terrible. I don't care if Steve Young, that was the best year for him in his career. They looked lousy doing it. And that's what matters. So go and vote for the Falcons, if you would. Or vote for the 49ers, if you insist. Either way, in there.
That's the lowest remaining seed, right? They're a 14?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about it.
You're not fond of that look.
I don't like it at all.
They barely snuck through.
Now, I love the base uniform for the 49ers, though. And Sessler, actually, on Around the League, wrote some stuff about it over the weekend. And I enjoyed, as usual, his turns of phrase on that. So, Rank, you have, and one more thing to promote, NFL.com. You have, we're wrapping up the your football movie tournament.
Yes. That's coming down. We are at the final, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, we're down to the final four, North Dallas 40, Remember the Titans, and there might have been some glitches with our production department, so I don't know if I need to select the last two. I don't know that I got to select the last two movies, but whatever. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
I will admit this to you now. I've never seen Remember the Titans. Is that bad, right? That I've not seen that movie?
I feel like the movie's a little overrated. Am I wrong? I heard that about it.
That's why I never felt compelled to see it.
You can imagine, if you think plucky underdogs.
Yeah, that's what I think. I feel like I've seen that movie a million times
that's,
over.
That's,
right?
That's such a great point. But, and the funny thing is also is that Handsome Hank had put a poll up on the NFL.com site about pick the movie of these four that you think are the best, and the other two are Varsity Blues. Personal favorite of Jeff Darlington, who harangued me for weeks, going, is Varsity Blues going to be on this list? I'm like, there's only a handful of actual football movies. Flash Gordon was in the tournament. I think Varsity Blues was a shoo-in to make the field. And then The Program, which I know a movie that you absolutely hate.
I don't like The Program. You they talk to each other during plays. There's no such play in NFL history where during the guy's running trying to get open and he talks to the DB covering him.
You never did that when you
played? For 18 to 27 seconds. The play that just goes on and on.
It's not like he just says, see ya. I used to do that playing hoops and everything. I mean, baseball lends itself a little bit more to talk.
I don't like The Program, but it's fine. All right, and I also, Craig Sheffer as a Heisman candidate quarterback is implausible. All you have to do when you're making a sports movie, not all you have to do, but one of the key details in the top two considerations, can they act? All right, fine. And two, do they look like they're playing the game? Do they look like they're capable? Why is Hoosiers a great movie? Because every one of those kids not just shoots the ball well, but they look like they're shooting the ball in 1955. They look like they do set shots like for them. It's completely it's plausible. Anyway, all right.
To bring it full circle, guys, I did the shout out a few episodes ago, about 200 episodes ago. Basically, in sports and movies, it's so hard to portray sports scenes. It's the most difficult thing to do. And my shout out was to people who have to actually work on sports scenes in movies because it's tough. It looks corny, it looks out of place, and it just never works.
Wait, was this a shout out you've already done?
It is. Yes.
Oh, I thought this was a new one.
No, I'm just recurring.
You know, actually, they use like professional players.
They do. True story. Last week, I met the guy who returned the kickoff in Batman. Whatever the Dark Knight Rises, whatever.
Hines Ward.
Well, it wasn't Hines Ward who actually did it, because Hines, you know, when you're an athlete, you don't actually have to do that stuff. They just put your face on it. He was the guy who, he was telling me about it, as the field, there's explosives going off behind him, it wasn't actually collapsing like it does in that movie, spoiler alert. But it's pretty cool. So there you go.
Wait a second. Hines Ward had a body double.
Yeah,
he's an actual football player. Why would he need a body double for football scenes?
Because he didn't want to run 100 yards. I don't know.
Well, he's an actor.
And there are explosives going off.
That should have been a football movie. Dark Knight Rises. Yep. That could have been. There's a football scene right in the middle.
But it's not part of the overall plot.
Fair enough. All right, Black Tie. Get into it already.
No, before we do that, though, hold on. You did say we have Jared Allen, the Vikings, Allen coming up. And we also have Chris Klubi, who was formerly of the Vikings, now with the Raiders.
Right.
So let's do a little Twitter battle, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's me.
Follow the Tweeter, our hot new game that we do here. I like that. That's a good idea. Allen v. Klubi.
By the way, congratulations to whichever one of our tweeters suggested doing this game. Because you're doing great work.
All right. Do you have any music for us?
Not yet. Still, you know, music recommendations for this. Still dressing up the segment.
All right. So,
Chris Klubi or Jared Allen?
Who has more Twitter followers? We'll start with Adam Rank.
Chris Klubi, because he's one of the more active players on Twitter. He reaches, I believe, different audiences with his World of Warcraft stuff, with his highbrow intelligence and the tweets that he sends out. So I would imagine that
people on Twitter love that. If there's one thing that if people love on the internet, it's intelligence.
They do. They love to be informed.
You're an idiot. I get a lot of "Y-O-U-R" and idiot for not with this divisional Pro Bowl thing. Oh, the number of emails that I got from people. You had blank in over blank. You're "Y-O-U-R" an idiot. All right. Thank you for your bon mot there. Anyway, I'm sorry, Rank. Continue. So you're going Clue. Handsome Hank.
I'm going to say Clue as well for the same reason I enjoy Clue's look on the world, basically his mm-hmm. take on the world, and the fact that he's not like other football players.
Cecily,
I will go Clue. I actually had a back and forth with him on Twitter about a year and a half ago, but it, like
all
Rank
of you guys,
that probably added to his.
No,
if I'd known that, then I yeah.
He had a swarm of new followers coming after that, but it was, as Rank points out, it had nothing to do with football. It was about classic comic book illustrations that were outrageous, like really poorly drawn scenes from old comic books. Mm-hmm. And he had a site with like 32 of the most, in strange images he had seen. And I couldn't stop reading. It was a fascinating piece, and we went back and forth about it. And yeah, I think he's an interesting follow. Jared Allen could surprise us here, but I think Cluey's got... He's got his hands in a lot of different buckets.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because let's not sleep on the fact
sure
Jared Allen is among, you would say, at least for the non-QBs, among the bigger stars, and definitely among defensive players would probably be, what, in the top three or five biggest stars in the NFL? Is that a fair thing to say?
Maybe
that's a stretch. But Cluey, who's a punter, and I can't imagine any punters have much of a following, the social media thing, just to be different. He is, you know, he's very social media savvy, and it's computer based. He loves the video games and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go Jared Allen just so I can win.
All right. I love the deliberation. Good stuff. Good analysis. Really quick, though. The word your, Y-O-U-R, is such an ISO for some reason. Like, it's the one word you notice that's, you know, when it's grammatically incorrect.
Well, it's ironic, too, is when people call you an idiot or a moron or anything
just
else.
Just pointing that out, because I see a lot of people pointing that out.
Right.
A lot of people pointing out that, hey, you misspelled that, you idiot. Either way, moving on. So, Chris Kluber or Jared Allen? At Jared Allen 69 or at Chris Warcraft? Turns out, guys, I love Chloe. He's, you know, he's vocal. He's out there, but he's still a punter. So he comes in just short as 176,000. Wow, Jared Allen's at 230,000.
Yeah,
you're like a savant.
I'm really good at this.
This game, you
I'm
are
great at
outstanding.
This.
You know, I've always believed that everyone has one talent that maybe goes undiscovered. It could be that Mark Sessa's the greatest cellist of all time. Adam Rank might be better at backgammon than everyone in the world, but neither of them will ever find out because they don't do it. This is you. This is
No.
Finally,
I appreciate that.
On something you can do well.
I do many things well. Connect Four. I'm unparalleled as far as I know in the
not
in
like
Connect
this though.
Not like this.
This
is incredible.
Skill.
This is a rare talent.
I'm a great urban walker. I used to regularly in when I was living on the north side of Chicago from my apartment, which was about 16 city blocks from Wrigley Field. I could walk out the door. Walk to Wrigley Field on game day, mind you, when there's a lot of foot traffic, a lot of cars around. I could not break stride. I could get there without breaking stride. Imagine that. Think about how tough that is. I could walk and not ever stop at a don't walk sign. Oh, there are people walking slow. Oh, they're sightseeing, whatever. Nope. Damashek could make it the whole way.
How did you deal with human traffic? How did you maneuver around that?
Hey, any way I had to, fella. That's my answer. I
do
just
you,
did it.
So you rock headphones? Any music during your walks? Or you just
sometimes, yeah. Okay. Sometimes old school, too, because that was in a day when you didn't have your iPad or whatever. That's not what people use
you're
to
a,
listen to this.
You're
music.
An impressive figure, unquestionably.
Thank
it's,
you.
It's
and lastly,
but
of course.
That's through cities.
Did you text and walk at the same time?
I just told you. There was no such thing as texting when I was living in Chicago. That was back in, like, 63, I think, or something like that. When I was walking around Chicago, and then also I'm great on the remote control. I'm really in the top 10 or so people I've ever known on remote controls. All right,
but
now start the block. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say how many. I imagine you probably do more. How many NFL players do you actually? I know you don't follow a lot of people on Twitter. Mm. Are there any actual NFL players you do follow?
I don't think so. Maybe AJ Hawk.
AJ Hawk. Yeah, me. It's Hawk and Cluey, and those are the only two.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think very many besides that. Yeah, it's because it's too much, too many updates. People misuse Twitter. All they do is ever write updates, and they also respond to people without, and you don't know what they're talking about. Thanks, you get a lot of that. Hey, what's going on today? Like, I don't.
That's a whole different topic about the misuse of Twitter. Trust me, I've studied this.
We'll talk about it later. All right, get into the blacklist. Moving on. We have stuff to do.
You know what a misuse is? By the way, who last night, I just got to give you this. Black Tie tweets out, I hope my Achilles survives tonight. I'm about to play basketball.
That wasn't the whole tweet. It was my first time wearing low top shoes. I just got a new pair of low top basketball shoes.
Good that you shared that with your little corner of the world.
Do you think anyone actually cares?
Well, yeah, some people might. I mean, it's like, hey, playing in low tops. Like, you know, I got some responses about, hey, you know, playing low tops actually is better for you and your ankles. So it's helpful.
I replied with an NFL player response, which was prayers up.
It's great as a base standard to sort of ask yourself, would anyone in my family even care about this? And no one in your family cares about that.
There are a few nobody cares tweets that you just let go regardless. All you know right, what I mean? Fine.
I cared.
Now do it, Black Tie.
We have about 12 minutes
go
here.
Go then.
Jared Allen calls in, so let's start it off, guys.
The Blacklist. Black Tie reads current events. The Blacklist. Damashek and Rank if they come in. The Blacklist. The Blacklist.
All right, guys, first up on the Blacklist. It's been a fun summer. Well, somewhat. It's kind of dwindling down now in terms of sports. But in the past month or so, a lot of interesting stories. Aaron Hernandez. Well, not interesting. That's actually pretty sad. And, you know.
Could be both.
Ugly.
This is a terrific setup.
Well, you have Puig Mania. You still Puig taking over the MLB. We have all sorts of stories. So what has been the best or the worst or most intriguing story of the summer to you and why?
Well, for me, that's pretty easy. It's the rise of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the third straight summer in which they appear to be contenders. I hope this is the time that the third time's the charm. In fact, it's been 20 years since they've been a winner. They seem legit. They seem to have good pitching. It's easy peasy for me. I love what the Buccos are doing. I hope they can continue this. And to me, people say, are you nervous that they're going to fall apart? Listen, all I want is 82-80. Everybody else about postseason, this and that. Yeah, that'd be fun. You know what they need to do? Is to not have a losing record for once in two decades. Rank, how say you?
I like Puig. I think that's, even though he plays for the hated Dodgers, I feel that watching this guy rise up, playing how well he's playing. I know we saw it last year. Mike Trout was doing a similar thing with the Angels. So for Southern California, even though both of our baseball teams, when we're at the time of this recording, are 43-45, so both teams are a game below 500, we still have two of the brightest stars in Major League Baseball on our respective teams, and I think it'll be fun for the next decade at least.
I tweeted this earlier in the week. This nonsense, as the baseball All-Star game approaches, this thing about, well, Puig, he hasn't played enough games, we don't know if he should be in the All-Star game, our special night. And this is why people don't like you, baseball. This is why you're so stuffy and self-serious and all. Listen, he's the most exciting thing this season. He belongs in the All-Star game, period. Done and done. And by the way, I would still go Mike Trout one if I were starting a team.
Oh, yes.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, he is a 5-2 player, Puig. But then I'd go Puig. No, I'd go Puig two, and then I'd go Bryce three. I think
that's interesting. Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
It's a fun list. Somebody asked me that yesterday.
I did. That was me.
Oh, good for you. Black Tie, too.
I probably took it from Twitter, though.
Somehow that didn't come up
probably a Twitter
in your
question.
All right. Handsome Hank, I'll say you.
I'm going to go with something from the UK, actually. The exciting news from Sunday that Andy Murray, a Scottish hero and now a British hero, is the Wimbledon champion, ending a drought of 77 years, apparently, without a men's Wimbledon tennis champion.
It was very exciting. I turned it on just in time. I just so happened to flip on the TV as that last game was starting, and it was compelling stuff, and things went up and down just in the course of that, whatever it was, 10 or 15 minutes. Fascinating and fun and exciting and all that kind of thing. I don't understand, though. If he's Scottish, how is it that you can embrace him as your own? He's not. It's the first Englishman to win Wimbledon. No, he's Scottish.
Well, here's what happened. I mean, it's interesting. It's a great question, Dave, and it's one that I've been asked by
and
many.
And Henry's
many
not
many
British, apparently. So,
I mean, no, I am. I'm British and English. You see, Great Britain and the United Kingdom are a, you know, all these nations together: England, Scotland, Wales.
I know, but I thought that was like North America, kind of. I know it's not a continent, but it's it seems like they're not the same.
Wouldn't you be happy for somebody if some U.S. Olympian who is perhaps from Texas won a gold medal?
That's
you
not
would
the
still,
same.
You'd
That's
still
not
be
the
happy.
Same.
From
Here's
those
why, because in the Olympics, for okay, and this is only track and field, athletics, whatever you want to call it, but that is that they compete as Great Britain rather than England.
Right.
So there are some sports where we're all lumped in together. And look, here's what it comes down to, Dave, and I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm
I know
gonna
exactly what you're
going to
say.
You.
I hope you're going to pull back the curtain.
We're desperate for a chance.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. And so, you know, England is still 77 years removed from their Wimbledon champion. But there was a gentleman called Tim Henman, who was a tennis player who for years kind of teased that he might get into the Wimbledon final and maybe even win it. Didn't really get close, didn't have the mettle to do it. Andy Murray managed to get it done, so everyone's claiming him as their own. I don't think there's no secret there.
There's no dignity. I saw Braveheart. What was that? That was only like 15 centuries ago.
Right. Exactly.
Now all of a sudden you love him? Now you love the Scots?
Tony Blair is Scottish.
I don't get it. I don't That's understand right. the operation there. It feels to me like not like rooting for someone from Texas, but rooting for someone from Canada, which in fact I
what
did when Sidney Crosby scored the overtime winner against the USA to win the gold medal. I felt some glee in my heart because he plays for my favorite hockey team. So I'm a hypocrite. All right, Sessler, how say you?
Sports story of the summer for me. I think living here in L.A., it's been... I haven't watched baseball since like 1996, so I don't even know that guy you're talking about. But you cannot miss driving around town, the drama surrounding the Lakers, and I love the play-by-play of this franchise's meltdown this summer, and just this entitled fan base that has never known losing for the most part. Oh, give me a break.
How do you think that we got Andrew Bynum? Because we were a lottery team.
I understand there maybe have been a few hiccups in between your championship runs, but it's just been enjoyable to watch the drama, the chaos, and a fan base that's never known ill starting to really see the ground swell and open up.
I couldn't agree more. The delusion of, as I have said many times on this show, as a sports fan, if you are a grown-up, you are required to delude yourself on some level because to expect guys that are from all over the U.S. and, in fact, the world that play in your city and wear your team's uniform care as much about the history of your team and the legacy that they're going to leave behind is laughable. Of course, if you're born and raised in, let's say, Pittsburgh, you care more about the Steelers than a guy who got drafted 3 months ago. Now, that being said, the delusion of the Lakers and their fans is off the charts. This thing about good riddance, Dwight Howard, he was a coward. He didn't have what it took to be a Laker.
Like, what? It's all true.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, good for you, Lakers. Now all you have left behind is the all-time creep of stars in Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
He's good for you. I'm glad you still have that guy. You may or may not kick the cuckoo Ron Artest / world peace
likely
to the curb.
Likely to be amnestied, apparently. But...
Pau Gasol is soft, and this notion that he, by the way, is good friends with Kobe is also ridiculous,
it's
too.
Totally
that Kobe
crazy.
That Kobe has now embraced Pau. It's you and me now, Pau. Yeah, after he rips him
awesome.
On and on.
He rips him up every chance he gets, and then Pau...
Steve Nash is decrepit and so on. I mean, listen, it's a ridiculous situation, and I agree with you, Sessler. It amuses me to no end. Yes. All right, next question, Blair.
Yeah, that whole thing is just a joke, but moving on.
I want to
anyway.
Talk more about that in the coming days, but to keep it going here.
All right, really quick. We do it, like, once again, we have Jared Allen coming on in about 5 minutes. They had a big run last year. Do you see that happening again, or how do you see NFC North shaping up this year?
Handsome Hank, I'm going to start this one with you.
I like the Packers to win that division.
Sure.
I like the Bears. I think every year they promise a lot. I think I'm interested in seeing what happens with Mark Trestman. He could turn around Jay Cutler and make him get him over the hump a little bit more than he was last year. Although, let's face it, he did a great job with Brandon Marshall.
And won't he get credit? It'll be interesting. Trestman will get some credit that is undeserved because they have also finally gotten some pieces on that offensive line right. that should upgrade it considerably, exactly. and that's what everybody and points to as the ongoing flaw of
exactly.
that team. So, yeah.
Exactly. But, then, I mean, it's impossible to separate the Vikings' fortunes from how Christian Ponder turns out this season. This is a must-prove-it year for him.
Will we see Matt Castle?
It's perfectly possible, yeah. I don't think we... I mean, personally, I don't think we will do to start with, but... let's say 6 weeks in, I wouldn't be surprised to see Castle there.
I'm going to turn now to Mark Sessler.
Really quick, just breaking news, just in relation to NFC North. Matt Stafford apparently on the verge of signing a new contract, multi-year contract, so whatever that's worth.
All right.
Breaking news.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, well, on the Stafford front, it's like you have to say that in that division, Ponder is easily the fourth best quarterback, and so it's hard to say, oh, the Vikings are going to go back to the playoffs. I think a lot of things went right for them last season. I go Packers because of the way that they attacked their weakness on offense. They shored up that running back situation. They've got two rookies who I think could be very interesting. They'll be a bit of a different offense this season. Their defense improved a lot last year. But the Bears are my sneaky pick to surprise a lot of people because I think Trestman was a wonderful hire in my book. I love the hire.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I agree. I like that. But, you know, I'll say this about the Packers, and nobody loves Aaron Rodgers objectively more. I have no rooting interest for him, but I admire his skills, obviously. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I say that he will retire as the all-time greatest quarterback. But look at that Packers schedule this year, and I know that there's a lot of crossover. All the teams in the division are going to play similar schedules, but theirs in particular, the way it stacks up, the consecutive games that they have to play, the rugged matchups they have week after week are really brutal. I do like the way they've quietly sort of addressed that secondary over the last couple of years, and it seems like a position of strength now. They have good young cover corners there, and... Now with a running game. The thing is, I don't think Greg Jennings matters that much to the Vikings. I think Greg Jennings is a nice upgrade for the Vikings. But this thing, this rhetoric about, like, well, the Packers have some of the best receivers in football. Do they? Are we sure? Or is it Aaron Rodgers that makes them so dynamite? Or is James Jones good if he leaves the Packers? Is Greg Jennings going to be good for the Vikings? Everybody has this talk about that the Vikings are going to be that one-year blip, the Adrian Peterson thing, and now they're going to fall back. They have addressed that receiver position, though. Ponder, year three, it all comes down to that. I say they don't make the playoffs. Rank, I'll say.
But we're trying to make a case for them, right?
Yeah, something? I'm trying to. I can't talk myself into it because Packers are good and the Bears should have a dynamic offense.
They won their last four games to close out the regular season. Going up, they beat the Bears, they beat the Packers, they beat the Texans, Wallace team. They beat the St. Louis FC, a team that you're very fond of. Christian Ponder getting it done, and watching that game against the Packers in the playoffs, Christian Ponder gets hurt. Joe Webb, I don't know that it makes a case for Christian Ponder, but you actually had a little bit more appreciation for him. Where you're like, oh, I guess he wasn't as bad as you think. And then you have to realize Percy Harvin played in just eight games, or started just eight games, played in only nine.
And they take off after he gets hurt.
Yeah, you know what? And Greg Jennings, if he's serviceable... And then they did well in the draft. They got those three young studs in the draft. I think they're a playoff team who, in a way, got better.
And Kyle Rudolph. So they have a lot of pass catchers there with Cordarrelle Patterson as well. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the best case scenario for them, I would say, is second place in that division. And I think that the last place team is the Lions. But I'll still go Packers 1. Probably the Bears,
yeah,
too. I think it's
one note on the Packers real quick. They do have a tough schedule. That coaching staff's been together for a real long time. And McCarthy has already shown that he can take them through highs and lows. I mean, I just don't question them, their ability to kind of hang tough till the end of the year.
All right. Yes, Black Tie.
One more note about the Lions. Our very own supplemental draft guru, Handsome Hank here, has Dwayne Pease, from wide receiver from Houston, going to the Lions in the seventh round of a supplemental draft. That could be another added weapon to the recently signed.
It's one of my favorite
Stafford.
Pieces at NFL.com. It's Handsome Hank's supplemental mock draft.
Yeah, I just released that, Dave. I've done a lot of work scouting those players. You know, Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Mayock.
They own
April. I'm the July guy.
It's just a bunch of white noise at this point.
Right.
They're all just a bunch of who knows who's saying what. Right. Handsome Hank has cornered the market on this supplemental mock draft.
For the Lions to pass on passing and take Dwayne Pease.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a lot of passing
Actually, every team apart from them passes 30 or 7 times.
That suits.
They pass 6 times.
And here in the 21st century, it's a passing league, so it makes perfect sense.
There's a trade in there as well.
Trade. Take forfeited as well.
I can't. Don't completely
give it all away.
You're the one who hates spoiler alerts.
Oh, it's already out. It's on the homepage of NFL.com. Last year it was on a DFP blog, but now it's everywhere
made
now.
The
it's
big
mainstream.
Time.
Yeah, it's
all
prime
right.
time.
Hey, Mazel Tov to you, Handsome Hank, on that. And the weird thing of you rooting for a Scottish guy to do something, and now it's in honor of Great Britain, which, again, I saw Braveheart, and Scotland didn't like Great Britain, so why would they be happy now?
They didn't like England.
Yeah.
They did like Great Britain.
Oh, please.
I don't understand what that
You sound like
is.
A guy that has sourced your Great Britain knowledge from Wikipedia like 2 weeks ago. I gave us this geopolitical drop-down, but I'm
again,
believing
my Tuscaloosa
less and less.
Roots being exposed.
Yeah, you are from somewhere within our country.
All right, well, listen, we got to make sure we ask Jared Allen his opinion on this. I have a feeling that he will vote that the Vikings have a good chance of winning the NFC North. That's my prediction here and now. All right, Black Tie, until we get Jared Allen on the phone, why don't you press on with the blacklist?
Colin Kaepernick had a little situation this past July 4th weekend wearing a Miami Dolphins cap, which I'm sure Hank is pretty happy about. He then responded to wearing said cap by saying, hey, guys, it's just a cap.
I don't like that. I don't like when people – I don't like when players – how many times have I talked about this? I know it makes me petulant and everything else, and like I say – you know, delusional that these guys should care the way I do. But, I mean, this is one of those things. You can't wear. Remember LeBron James got heat for wearing a Yankees hat? That was an outrage in Cleveland, and that was a different sport. You can't wear colors. You can't wear the logo of some other NFL team. I don't think that's out of bounds to say that. And I don't like the too cool for school mentality. That here's how the cool guys beat down we nerds is by saying, like, why do you care about that? I mean, that's important. Are you serious? Grow up. All right. You know, listen, that's how Colin Kaepernick said it. Grow up. That's how he said it.
To be fair, he did right his wrong or try writing his wrong today with a new picture with him.
I don't care.
And
too little,
golden
too late.
Golden state of mind, outfit, hat, and everything.
Oh, people like people. And then when I just did my impression of Colin Kaepernick, that reminded me there have been many requests out there for more Bane.
Bane.
I don't do a Joker. I'm trying to think. Can I do other Batman?
Can you just do Batman, straight up Batman? I mean,
I don't like how Christian Bale's Batman talks with that gravel thing. What's that nonsense? If they had explained that he's altering his voice in the first one, then I could buy it a little bit more. But we're just to assume that he has a different voice or that he's using something to throw his voice off so nobody knows who he is. Hokey. I don't like that. Like, you're supposed to do this, and the Gotham deserves more. Gotham deserves justice, not evil at the head of the... Whatever it is. It's a stupid impression. Now, Bane sounds like this. Then you have my permission to die. That's how he sounds. Which one do you want to hear me do?
I like them both. I think a conversation between the two of them would be interesting.
I came out of that hole, and how did you get out of that hole? But I never escaped from that hole. That wasn't me. But then who are you? I don't know what that is. I can't do it.
Compelling.
I can't do it. Yeah. Oh, look. It was a telephone ring. Saved just in time.
Saved by the bell.
Yeah. Now you have my permission to leave Studio 66. Good. Well, that started to get weird right at the end.
Yeah,
a little bit too much.
But but thank you very much for having me anyway.
Thank you. This was fun.
Goodbye. And now let's say hello to the superstar defensive end of the Minnesota Vikings. He's also doing some good work with professional bull riders to bring home wounded warriors. It's Jared Allen. What's the poop, fella?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Well, can't complain. How's your summer going, man?
Not too bad. Just rehabbing my shoulder. That's all ready to rock and roll. Just kind of getting ready for training camp, and then doing a lot of work with my foundation. And like you mentioned, we just teamed up with the PBR, and just trying to raise money to build homes and remodel them to make them handicap accessible for our wounded vets.
Well, a fantastic cause, certainly, and good for you for doing that. And I see a lot, and it's interesting that you're doing something that involves bulls, because whenever I see video of you that off of the football field, you're throwing spears at animals and doing all sorts of cuckoo kind of hunting stuff. What gives, man? What do you like? I was wondering, do you wrestle bears or anything like that?
No. Obviously, I think they might win. I've always enjoyed hunting. You know, I grew up on a horse ranch, and I grew up in the outdoors. My grandfather, my dad, everybody just had appreciation of the outdoors. And then, you know, a lot of my family was in the military, so having that appreciation of the military is kind of that. Those two paths kind of crossed. I got into a little stock contracting with the PBR, and an opportunity opened up to talk with them about, you know, partnering up with my foundation and helping bring awareness and helping raise money. And, the two paths kind of lined up, and it's been a great partnership, and I foresee it, being great for both sides.
Yeah, but, I mean, the reason I ask about the bear specifically is because I was thinking because you wrangle with animals out in the wild, I was wondering, have you ever looked at the 32 teams, the names of the teams, and considered how many Jared Allen could defeat in a fight? I mean, like, so bear, you say you think a bear would win. I think you would beat a raven, for instance.
Yeah,
I think you could beat...
Depending on, it's all depending on the age of the bear and what element are we in. You know, I have this argument with my agent all the time. I said, if maybe like a 100-pound black bear, I have a chance. Minus heat, but we have to have like equal, things. He can't have claws if I don't get claws. If I don't get to like take knives in my hands, then he can't have claws.
So I really think
it depends on what element you're in. Now, if I have to fly, the raven obviously wins.
No.
It's like a shark. It's like a shark in and out of the water. You know, who's on the home field? Who's traveling for this fight?
I still think the dolphin beats you out of the water.
Wow, that's an indictment of Jared Allen. But
they're just so wily.
Well, he's also slippery, so that would be one element. Yeah. The dolphin would be hard to grab onto. But like,
yeah, I feel like I have an advantage over a lot of animals because of my opposable thumbs.
It's true. That's very true. Well, what about
forget about this.
Could you beat, let's say...
What about the Texans logo? I think he could beat up
a Texan?
But they have the bull. They have the steer. What's he going after in that fight? An actual Texan?
No, it's a Texan. The mascot is a Texan. It's a resident of the state of Texas.
Look at it. It's a bull.
No. We're not talking about the mascot. We're talking about the team name is what we're talking about. Now, I'll say this for you, Jared Allen. I don't think... I mean, I'm looking at the list now of teams. Could you beat... I think you could beat a Jaguar. They're not that big.
Yeah, again, I mean, are we talking daytime, nighttime? Are we hopping on the trees? I don't know.
I would say the middle of a wrestling.
Do I get to get the Jaguar out of the rainforest?
Yeah, let's say it takes place.
The surprise is gone. If it's in the open, he has to look me eye to eye. I think I got a chance.
What about then? We'll just say it takes place in Thunderdome. That's it. We throw you into the ring. But I am going to allow the weapons. We can't say you don't get your weapon. I mean, let's say, look, a cowboy, we can expect he has a six shooter on his hip. That's
why
it.
Would he get that?
Right. Well, see, now we're talking. And I think if we go to Thunderdome, I have experience of performing in front of crowds. Mm-hmm. Animals tend to tense up and get afraid of crowds. So therefore, I got the upper hand.
Good point. This is an interview. All right, I'm going to break this down, and I'm going to send you the results. I'm going to go through it. Right now, just giving it an eyeball test, I'm going to say you can beat roughly half of all the mascots. You can't beat a Titan, though. The Titan is, I assume, is a god. You know, it's like some mythical god who can throw lightning bolts, and he's immortal, so you have no chance.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That, and we all saw Remember the Titans, and they were undefeated. So therefore, if anything, Titans typically come undefeated.
All right, let's talk about football. Oh, and one last one though. Could you beat a Viking?
Oh, you know what? I guess it all depends. You know, do I catch them early in the morning, like after a late night of carousing? I don't know. You know, again, it's all about the angle of attack. I think it'd be a good fight, though.
I'd like to think that you both went on a twister the night before to get ready for the big fight.
There you go. He has to use his battle axe and shield, and I get to use a gun. See, there you go. You have to use the weapons of your time.
What is the weapon of your choice?
No, he throws the spear at the animals. That's the one you got to use now. That's your weapon. That's what we know you to use.
What about us?
Yeah, I got length. I have length over the axe. Works out well.
Well, we also saw that Rex Ryan went after the bulls in Spain. Is that anything that you'd ever contemplate?
Oh, I ran on the bulls in 2007.
Oh, been you did?
Done that.
Wow.
Did you see the video of him jumping over the fence? How did you do it? How did you compare?
I made it all the way into the arena.
Did you really? You didn't jump out like he did?
No, I was side by side with them, and so we started right after Hamburger Corner. Hamburger Corner is like the big kind of double switchback that they have, right, where bulls fall down, people get typically mangled. We started right after that, had a nice little straightaway run, was running right next to the old bulls there, saw some little dude trip up and just get meleeed by a couple bulls. And, you know, my theory was, I told my buddies that I was with, I said, as soon as we start running, like, I'm not waiting for you guys. I already knew I was faster than them. You know the old adage, I don't have to outrun the bull. I just got to outrun one of my buddies, right? So I made sure there was always somebody behind me. And, made it into the narrowing of the stadium, got into the stadium and watched. Then they let, like, six. Then what they do is after they get the big bulls back into the corral back behind the stadium, because they've come out for the bullfight later that night, they let out, like, six little bulls one at a time. And they got their horns taped up, and people can try to, you know, touch them and do some amateur bullfighting. And, you know, I weighed the pros and cons and figured I was probably better off on the outside of that ring. I watched some people just get meleeed. It was awesome.
I love this message, though, for Leslie Frazier and all young Vikings fans out there. Hey, when it gets going, when it really gets hot, run away and make sure there's someone else to get run over instead of me. It's a powerful.
You gotta weigh the pros and cons, and you know, as much as I want to run with the bulls, you gotta be smart about it, right? I was going into a contract here.
I hail you, sir. I appreciate your honesty. Now let's talk about the Vikings and be honest too, because we don't like jive talk here on the show. But we were just talking about it before you joined us. The Minnesota Vikings in 2013, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard, that a lot of people sort of say about the Vikings. This is one of those one-year things. It was a great season with Adrian Peterson. But, all right, they're in a division with the Packers and the Bears. Come on, they can't win it again. Make a case for why the Vikings are going to be contenders again this year.
Well, I think for the simple fact that we have a guy like Adrian Peterson, in this league, you know, everybody wants to say it's about the quarterback, it's about the passing, you know, because everybody passes, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I still believe there's room for old school football where you can run the ball and you can control the clock, and especially late in the season when you can wear teams down, you know. Yeah, you know, we need consistent play out of a quarterback position. We need to be able to throw the ball to open up the passing game for AD. But to have that consistency, to be able to have a guy that you know can put 100 on you and maybe 200 the way he ran last year on him getting Sunday, I mean, now you're kind of their game plan, the opposing team's game plan, they have to defend both. And, you know, when we play the Packers, we pretty much know that they're going to be one-dimensional. And as hard as it is to stop Aaron Rodgers in that receiving core, I mean, that's at least you can game plan for it, you know. And I think now that we got Greg Jennings and you look at the season Kyle Rudolph had, and if our young guys are anything what they look like in camp, then, you know, we're going to be dual threat offensively. And defensively, you know, we kind of pride ourselves about playing defense around here. We got to be more consistent. But, you know, that's what I think gives us a great shot, is the fact that, you know, we do have a dual threat, you know, run, pass game. And if Adrian gets hot, I mean, you know, it's hard to win when guys are rushing for 200.
Well, and you know, like you say, it really is going to be a rugged division again this year. I think probably the fourth place team is the Lions, just because of that defense. But even they obviously have some nifty pieces there. But you talk about old school football. This is something I bellyache about a lot. Shouldn't all the NFC North teams play outside? Enough with these domes.
Yeah, you know what? Have you ever been up here in the frozen tundra in the middle of December?
I'm from Pittsburgh. I've sat out in Three River Stadium in January before. Oh, I know how cold it could be.
Listen, I remember I played in the cold in Kansas City. I played outdoors, and I remember some games against Denver where, like, the ice, you know, formed up to, like, a two-yard line. And even that game we played at TCF Bank when the dome collapsed.
Right.
They got within the five-yard line. I mean, that thing was just solid ice. They could have, I mean, the Pop Warner team could have scored on us right there. But, no, you know what? I do love playing outside. I love playing on grass. But I got to admit, my bones really do love the, love the dome. I've been playing that freezing cold like four times a year.
Well, Rank here grew up a Rams fan. When they would travel up there from L.A. in January for a playoff game, that's what you call a home field advantage, fella.
Well, absolutely. But at the end of the day, you know, I remember when we played, you know, Coach tried to open up the our practice facility so we could get used to the cold before we played in the playoff game, right? And that obviously didn't help. We got smoked still. But the bottom line is it comes down to the games are going to get played one way or the other. Doesn't matter how cold it is or how hot it is, the game's going to get played. And if mentally you can't prepare for that, then you probably need to be in a different business. But, you know, I guess there's some advantage, although, you know, the home team has to play in the same weather. And, you know, if it was up to me, I think everything would be outdoors on the grass. But, you know, a part of me still does love the field turf and the dome.
Well, the Super Bowl this year is going to be played in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Do you think it's fair? Because what if the team like the Chargers, who plays in warm...
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Chargers.
But why is it fair for a team like that to have to go and play outdoors in February in New York or New Jersey?
Yeah, you know what? I think element, again, it's a mental thing. Because, I mean, physically, it's not going to affect... I mean, if both teams have to face the same elements, then physically, right, you guys should both be, you know, facing the same challenges or same advantages. Like, you know, people talk about, oh, what's the advantage of playing the dome? Well, the other, it's faster. Well, the other team's just as fast, you know, because the surface is the same for everybody. So, you know, if you get to the Super Bowl 2 weeks ahead of time, you got time to practice, you got time to, you know, mentally adjust, and it's the Super Bowl. If you're focused on the weather and how cold it is, and you're not focused on, you know, the biggest game of your life, then, you know, you probably don't deserve to be there.
Yeah, and by the way, Rank, Big Ten teams and teams like Pittsburgh Steelers, they go play in Super Bowls and in bowl games down
yes.
in the heat of Florida. So
the,
what do you mean, Florida? Well, I'm just telling you, that's a big difference. Anyway, listen, Jared Allen, one last question for you is this. If you, because you are, like we say, you're an outdoorsman as well as a football player, and you have the length going for you, you have all these skills, you're fast, what is the sport? What would be the one thing you would do if it were not a football player? What would be the other position you would want to play in sports? Not football.
Oh, baseball. I mean, come on.
No. I'm not asking generic. I'm talking pick your team.
You get to bring your golf clubs on the road with you, Chitandras. You know what? I've been a huge fan of, like, boxing and MMA for a while, and I've been training MMA, you know, just to prepare, to help myself get ready for football, doing cross-training there, so... I would probably go that route, or if I didn't go that route, I'd probably be on the rodeo circuit. You know, I've always liked, I grew up reining, on a reining, my dad trained reining and cutting horses, so I grew up on a ranch, and I grew up roping, and I think bulldogging, like steer wrestling would be kind of cool. Those dudes are those big. I think my size still would add perfectly for that.
Oh, and that's going to be great prep for you. That's going to be great training for when you take on all the mascots of the NFL. That's going to be
exactly. See, and the key is to know how does the animal move, right? Because some animals can't move laterally. Like a pig, for example, if a boar charges you, all you got to do is step to the side. His COD is suspect at best.
Mm-hmm. Now you got me looking back at some more mascots of who you could beat here now. You couldn't beat a jet, I don't think. A jet, I mean, that's pretty clear. A brown,
well, again,
I mean.
Again, I couldn't beat a jet in the air, but what's a jet going to do to me on the ground?
True enough, yeah.
Could run you
but
over
then again, stone. What are you going to do to the jet if it's on the ground?
Light it on fire.
Oh, he's got all the answers. Ooh, last thing, actually, Jared.
If you spear the fuel tank, I win.
He's a savvy fella. He's a savvy
he's
warrior.
He's been thinking about this.
Yeah. Last thing, actually, before I let you go here, is Adrian Peterson, maybe the biggest non-quarterback star in the NFL. ADAP, too confusing, right?
Yeah. One's for Adrian Peterson and one's for all day because he runs all day.
Mm-hmm. It's too confusing on my brain. It's not clear. Which do you go AP? Or you did go AD, though, right?
You know what? I've done both. I got to be honest. I've done both. And, you know, when I first got there, I didn't know what AD meant. I thought people were just mispronouncing AP. Mm-hmm. But then I figured it out when he had his own shoe that said all day.
Well, will you talk to him about it? Because I think we can do better. This initial thing is confusing, and I think I speak for America.
It's because they sound too much alike.
Right, so, that's the point.
I typically go with AP now. I guess now we could just go MVP and just, you know, really make it simple.
Okay, do that then. Anything. Just let them know. Let them know that there's some consternation out there in the football universe about this.
I'll let them know that we need to come up with a different nickname.
All right, and I'll let you go so that you can get training because your first-round matchup, a Seahawk.
Oh, a Seahawk. See, yeah. What is a Seahawk? Is it a seagull?
I think so.
Is it a combination between a seagull and a Seahawk? See, I've never actually physically seen a Seahawk. Does he have talons or doesn't he? See, these are the questions we need to figure out.
I met the Seahawk once, actually, in Seattle. It's not that big. I think you'll make quick work of him. He might scratch one of your eyes, but I still think, ultimately, once you get your mitts on him, it's good night for him.
Perfect. And they're scavengers, so a little like Alka-Seltzer and a piece of bread, it's over for them.
Oh, jeez.
I love it. He's bringing bird feed to distract them. All right, listen, Jared Allen, you're a delight, and what's more, you're also a good fella. Again, the professional bull riders, PBR, teaming up with Jared Allen for his charity there, doing a great thing and building up the homes for returning veterans there. And by the way, let us know, how can we help you out with this?
People can go to homesforwoundedwarriors.com, and we have t-shirts for sale. We got, you know, you can donate right on the site. It's got a list of our soldiers. We actually have three homes that we're doing right now. We've operated a very, very, you know, low administration cost. You know, everybody in our foundation mm-hmm. works for free, pretty much. So, 99% of just about everything goes directly to the home. So, we make a donation, you can know that it's going directly into one of these three homes that we're building right now. And, that's homesforwoundedwarriors.com. We've got a list of our events that are upcoming that we've already done. You can see bios on the soldiers, links to the PBR, links to a lot of our other partnerships. And, we have merchandise for sale there. We got really cool, you know, PBR shirts that we just co-branded. We got, you know, our supporter shirts, and again, just our general information and why we started the foundation and where we're going in the future. So again, homesforwoundedwarriors.com, or you can text warrior. I'm sorry, the word warrior to 888, and you can make a $10 donation on your cell phone.
Awesome, man. Really, really great stuff. And again, it's homesforwoundedwarriors.com. Jared Allen, go get him in 2013, fella.
I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right, there he
goes.
Thank you, sir. Very nice guy, that Jared Allen.
Enjoy him.
And I like, see, he's not just brawn, you understand.
He's
brains.
See,
he knew how to get that Seahawk out of his game. The Jet, I never heard. That's a great idea. Yeah, you just like.
You would always assume that the Jet would go on and win.
Yeah, he could defeat
that
thing. Wow, fascinating stuff. All right,
you should
well
do that
now
on your blog.
Listen, what's that?
You should do that on your blog. You should start going through all the
I did a year ago. Maybe we should repost that. In fact, I rated who would win a fight of 1 through 32 of all the mascots, but now how Jared Allen would do. That's
spin
a great
it forward.
I love that. All right, I am gonna do that.
Good.
Now though, Rank, yep. I throw the question to you now.
Okay.
Same question. What is the one position? Because I said we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Jared, who wants to wrangle with animals? That's not the point. I want to do where he started out, baseball player, playing golf in the downtime, all this jazz. To me, I want to be a platoon player in baseball for the, like, let's say for the Pirates, or maybe the Cubs. I think the Cubs, that really gets it right. Or L.A. The Dodgers would be fun because you're out in Southern California. It's sunny, and you could live near the beach, presumably, because you'd be rich. You get a place in Malibu on the sand. Or in Chicago, where it would just be great fun to be spend your summer up on the north side of Chicago. In fact, I would not forget platoon player. I'd be a relief pitcher who just gets to sit there and kibitz with the fans all day. You know, once in a while, all right, I got to get up and work for like a half hour.
And you're left-handed, so odds are you'd be a specialist.
I'd say half hour, right. More likely, I'm just going to have to work for like 4 minutes a day, if that. You know, like, I get out, throw to one left-handed guy, whatever. I win, lose, whatever. All right, I'm sitting back down. That's it. That's probably my choice. But I turn it to you, Rank. What's the one position? And I'm not talking. I don't want to hear right wing. I'm saying right wing for the blank.
Okay.
You know?
I'm going to take Jonathan Bernier's spot as the backup goaltender for the LA Kings.
Nice.
Because Jonathan Quick is amazing at his job. You're never going to probably be counted on to do anything.
No one expects you to be as good as him.
But you get to hang out. You get to play for the LA Kings, which has a very strong fan base. Not the biggest fan base, but a very strong, loyal fan base here in Southern California.
In fact, it's good because you're not if you're in Montreal,
it's too much.
Then you're going to get brutalized every time you play. In LA, people will say, yeah, so we're diehard Kings fans, but not really. I mean, you're not going to get destroyed in the press for having a bad game as the backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, and odds are you will be living in Manhattan Beach with the rest of them. You'll be the toast of the town.
Yeah.
It's good sport.
Good call.
They do well with the ladies.
And, hockey players do the best with the ladies. Of all the, I don't know about soccer. I've seen some of those girls that
they do well.
The Real Madrid fellas do in Barcelona and everything.
They do well. And so, so you just hang out, and you'd look cool wearing a hat all the time, and you go out there, you hang out, you slap hands after the thing. That's it. That's basically
they look like
it.
The Michelin man, you know, with the goalie pads are way too big, but they wear the ball cap. All right, look who's coming through the door here. He's coming into Studio 66. This is good, Rank. We've been anxious to yap with this guy for quite some time now. I know that I speak for you when I say we're both big fans of the stuff he speaks out on. And what's more, he's an NFL football player. Now with the Oakland Raiders, he's going to be kicking the ball for them in 2013 after many successful years doing so for the Minnesota Vikings. Now he's an author. Beautifully unique Sparkle Ponies, Chris Cluey. What's the poop, fella?
Not a whole lot going on. I'm excited to be here.
Well, welcome to Studio 66. Beautifully unique Sparkle Ponies. I almost said Sparkle Horse. Do you know the band Sparkle Horse? Do you remember them?
No, I don't, but that would also be an amazing title.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought that there must be somebody since you're a musician. Where to begin? And you're a musician as well, and Tripping Icarus. I dig the name, although I'm intrigued by what it means. Talk about it.
So the name means that we had spent about 4 months trying to come up with a band name, and every time we thought we had something, it was taken by some crappy band in Des Moines who were inevitably some like heavy metal band that were awful. And eventually we got to the point where it's the night before we were going to record our EP, and we still didn't have a band name. And we said, we can't be that band that shows up to record and doesn't have a band name. That's pretty Bush League. So we sat down, started throwing names around, came up with Icarus. Okay, cool. Greek mythology. It's got a good ring to it. Tripping Icarus. Sure. Yeah, why not? The kid flies. How do you trip him? Okay, whatever. And then no one had it, which was the most important part. So we're like, okay.
I was confused, though, because you don't Icarus is flying. Yeah. He's up in the sky, so you don't trip him. Exactly. You would clip him.
But what if someone tripped him on takeoff and he never flew up and then his wings didn't melt and he'd still be alive?
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Or, you've thought about this before.
Or what if he's just tripping balls? I mean, it can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah, he would probably be scared of the sun
because
it would probably be looking and have an evil eye on him, and he would avoid it altogether. Either way, so what's involved in this book? Well, I also want to hear about the band, and then eventually maybe we'll roll around to some actual football. But what's the book all about here?
So the book is essentially kind of a snapshot into my mind. So buyer beware. It's it's not the typical football autobiographical novel. It's more a collection of short stories and essays. A lot of which deal with the idea of rational empathy, that societies that don't practice equality, that don't practice empathy, end up collapsing. Because if you look at the historical record, civilization has a 100% failure rate. There has never been a civilization that has withstood the test of time. And really, it's due to either oppressing your own populace and not letting them, you know, contribute the same as everyone else, and they eventually get tired of it and rise up. Or you try and take something from someone else, and you seek out conflict from without, and you get into a fight that you can't win. So until we understand the fact that we have to work together as opposed to trying to keep people down or taking things from other people, then we will keep following the same path that everyone else has trod down, and we will join that 100% failure rate.
I think Fats Holmes told me the same thing back in the early 80s. Yeah.
But obviously you've become well known for the gay rights activism. Now, like it's Dave said before, we're in agreement with it. Why was it an important issue for you, though?
For me, because it's under the broader subset of human rights in general, which really ties back to this idea that, you know, if I'm free to live my life, then everyone else has to have that same freedom, or else we don't live in an equal society. And the society I want to live in is one where everyone does have the freedom to live their own life. And it really boils down to, if you're taking a course of action, would you be okay being on the other side of that course of action? Would you be okay with someone doing that to you? And so when it comes to same-sex rights and gay marriage, you know, I wouldn't want someone limiting my ability to get married, telling me who I could love. So why am I going to do that to someone else?
Well, of course, that makes you know, perfect rational sense, and yet it seems like there's a huge sect of people out there that disagree with that, although a much smaller percentage of people in the U.S. than there was, I guess, statistically 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and so on. But specifically in the NFL locker room, we love talking to – we've talked with Brendan Ayombindejo several times here on the podcast, and I ask you now the same question I've asked him. So what happens? This thing, if somebody came out as gay, it would be the apocalypse in the locker room. What would happen? I mean, really, let's think about it. You go into the Oakland Raiders locker room, and whatever, you know, right before week one. I'm trying to think of who's on the team now. Is Matt Leinart still there?
No.
All right. Well, that's not so. I guess we don't have to name somebody, but it helps illustrate it if we have somebody to say. Darren McFadden. McFadden says, "Listen, fellas, I just want everybody to know that I am going to be coming out publicly." What would be the reaction in the locker room?
I think the vast majority of guys just really wouldn't care. They'd be like, okay, cool, whatever, let's go win football games. There'd be some guys who wouldn't get it, who would say, you know, that's not right, you shouldn't do that, you know, what are you thinking? And then hopefully there would be other guys who would talk to those guys and say, look, it's his life to live, we're here to play football. Your sexuality has nothing to do with how well you play the game. And really, you see it, it's a generational issue where as younger kids are growing up and entering the NFL and entering society in general, they've been raised in an environment of tolerance and acceptance, and they understand that this isn't a big deal. The economy is a big deal. Wars overseas are big deals. Your sexuality, not a big deal. So it's really, when you're at the football field, when you're at the locker room, can you help this team win? And, you know, if you happen to be gay, who cares?
Well, I also think, though, that, you know, obviously a major component is and at least a lot of people lean on it as the excuse to be homophobic is religion. So with those with guys who would use that as their excuse and it's wrong and everything else, what isn't there some practical measure that the team or the league? I'm stunned as a, for instance, I was down there on the field on media day when Chris Culliver got caught up a little bit with Artie Lang. And, you know, as I've said before, I feel a little bit bad on some level for Chris Culliver because I think he got sucked into a conversation with a comedian who's baiting him a little bit. Not to say that there was, you know, nasty intent on Artie Lang's part, but, you know, trying to have a light conversation and Culliver's trying to keep up with him and so on. And all of a sudden he says something that is going to now mark him for the rest of his life. But I'm stunned that the teams and the league doesn't say, listen, whatever your personal opinion is, of course, it's a free country. But listen, it does not behoove you, the individual. It's bad for our team and it's bad for our league to be making homophobic remarks. Does that happen?
Yeah. We get, you know, media awareness and training every single year. And, you know, it's up to guys whether they pay attention to it or not. And with the Chris Culliver thing, I think the thing to really recognize there is the fact that he wasn't really familiar with gay people. You know, he was just saying something. This is how he had been brought up. He didn't have any personal experience. And, you know, everyone was quick to jump on him then. And, you know, I called him out for it then because they were homophobic comments. But at the same time, we also have to recognize that a couple months later, he's working with, I think, Trevor's Project in the Bay Area to help youth that are at risk from suicide. And this is something that we have to recognize, that it can't just be about punishing people. It's about educating people. It's about making them aware that, you know, yeah, you've done something wrong, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way going forward. You know, you can recognize the fact that gay people are people too. And really, you see it in politics a lot with Republican lawmakers, that when a family member comes out as gay, all of a sudden their position completely flips because now they understand on a personal level, this is something that affects someone I know. And really, that's where we're moving as a society, because more and more people are growing up with either a gay friend, a gay family member, a gay teammate, and they understand that this affects people, you know, not just in a, you know, broad spectrum, oh, yeah, someone's being affected. This is my friend that's being affected by this, and that really changes views.
You're very outspoken about it, and mm-hmm. You had a teammate named Matt Burke who was mm-hmm. the other way. When you mm-hmm. get into the locker room, how much time do you guys actually spend talking about things of this nature? Because it seems like our perception sometimes is that, like, it's a huge ordeal you guys mm-hmm. talk about all the time. But I don't walk around here with my coworkers, and we don't talk about this issue mm-hmm. all the time. So how big is it in the locker rooms?
Not that big. And really, it depends on if guys want to talk about it or not. It's, you know, I was with Matt for, I think, three or four years. And, you know, we had many great conversations. We did the crossword puzzle every day. You know, he's a smart guy. But that was something we just didn't bring up because it's a work environment, and we have to be able to function together as a team in order to win games. So whenever I'm in the locker room, you know, if someone wants to have a conversation with me, I'm more than happy to have that conversation, but I'm never going to put it in someone's face and make them have that conversation because that's not the environment for it. You know, that I can say that stuff when I'm away from the football field because that's my private life to live. But when I'm in the locker room, you know, I'm there to play football. That's 100% my focus. And I think guys respect that because they understand that, you know, we're not trying to make it a difficult work environment. We're, you know, we're there to talk if you want to talk. But if not, then we're there to play football.
I'm sure Black Tie, the producer, whispered this in your ear as you walked in here. We have but one rule here in mm-hmm. Studio 66, and that's no jive. So we shoot straight in here. So did the Vikings, from what you think, do you think there's any connection from your opinions that you've shared mm-hmm. with your departure from the Twin Cities?
I will say the same thing. I've told numerous other people that have asked me
the same
question.
All right, but here you're in Studio 66.
I am in Studio 66, and I will say I honestly don't know because I'm not in the meetings between coaches and GMs. You know, I don't know what their rationale is. And the only thing I can look at is my past performance and what I'm able to do. And I've been statistically the best punter for the Vikings over the last 8 years that they've had in their entire history book.
Even better than Greg Coleman.
Even better than Greg Coleman.
I remember watching
him. Yeah, and he's a good punter. He's a good guy, too. Talked with him many a time. And really, at this point, you know, it's about making the team with the Raiders and going forward, showing that I still have what it takes to play at an NFL level.
What'd you make of Adrian Peterson's remarks?
That was actually something I was thinking of earlier when, you know, when you brought up guys mm-hmm. and religion stuff, because to me, that's a remark that AP may not necessarily, you know, promote same-sex marriage. That may not be something that he likes, but he's not going out of his way to discriminate against it. It's, you know, it's not the best mindset to have because hopefully, you know, we get to a point where everyone says, look, you're another person. How you live your life is up to you. But at the same time, he's not actively trying to say, no, you can't live that life. He's just mm-hmm. saying, that's not my life. That's not how, you know, I'm going to live my life. And you know what? That's fine. That's his belief. He's allowed to have that. And I'm okay with that.
You're allowed to have it. But yeah. I don't like when, let's say, ESPN's Chris Broussard gets mm-hmm. off the hook by right. by saying, well, that's my religion, and that's what I think. It's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. Yeah, guess what? There are other opinions, mm-hmm. too. Yeah. Unicorn meat makes the best hamburgers around. I mean, it's illogical mm-hmm. and has no place in the 21st century.
And that's the thing, is that you're entitled to your opinion, but you are also entitled to the consequences of having your opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to be able to back up your opinion with rational, logical arguments. Because if you can't, then people are going to point it out and say, why is that your opinion? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some other stuff, and specifically the band Tripping Icarus. What do you think of so first of all, what's the sound? Grunge?
Yeah, kind of grungish. We're all heavily influenced by the 90s era, like Tool, Soundgarden, Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave.
Oh,
you know, kind of that whole genre.
You're speaking Rank's language. Yeah. I like that. I like a lot of the bands you just said, but this is much more up your alley, right?
So really melodic, but still kind of heavy, and hopefully with a message in, you know, in the music. You know, you look at music these days, and a lot of it just doesn't really say anything. I mean, I think Macklemore is probably the last, or you know, the only hip hop record I've heard recently that's mm-hmm. actually said something. it's really a shame because you can say so much with music. You know, people enjoy listening to music, and when you look at bands like Tool or Rage Against the Machine or Nirvana, there is a message in there where they're speaking out about problems in society and you know, what people can do to be more aware of that. And that's something I think that we've kind of lost and we need to be looking at more.
I was almost murdered at that murder implies intent, but I was almost crushed at a Rage Against the Machine show around about 95 up in Chicago. Yes, grand times. All right, let's give you the quiz. Here's something we've been looking for, Cluey. I know you're a busy man, but look, listen, you're in the music business. We need somebody to be an ambassador to music for, you know, we need it here on the podcast. We've solicited the services of Brandon Lloyd in the past. Mm-hmm. He agreed. And then we were unfulfilled, frankly, you know, and Brandon Lloyd, I would say it to his face. I say it to because again, no jive. Mm-hmm. Now, what can we, here's a little quiz. Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm. Choose one.
Oh man, that's a really tough one because I really like Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, Freebird. You can't go wrong with Freebird. Mm-hmm. Sweet Home Alabama, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. Give Me Two Steps, Mister. That's another good one. But Ryan Longwell, who I know very well, his dad actually played in the Allman Brothers Band.
Ah.
So I have that personal connection.
How cool. Oh.
Yeah, which is really cool. I mean, cause it was really funny. We were playing. I was
Ryan Longwell's old man was in the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, how about that? So I was playing Guitar Hero, and Jessica was on there, right? So I'm playing the song, and you know, he comes into the Players Lounge, kind of looks at it. He's like, yeah, my dad played that song. I was like, wait, what? Your dad, isn't he a golf pro now? It's like, well, yeah, but before that, he played in a band.
That's our next guest, Black Tie. I want to get the guy who was in the Allman Brothers and is now a golf pro. Yeah.
And his son's in the NFL.
Yeah,
also cool.
He's doing very well.
We've been putting together, I'm trying to put together the ultimate sort of road trip record. What? Give me a song or two. This is a test, by the way, in case you aren't aware.
Yep.
I don't know that I'm getting the proper intensity from you. This is a job interview,
right?
After all. So a good road trip song or three, if you please.
Road trip song or three. I like Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name Of, because that's just one of my go-to songs. Tool, 46 and 2, like. Actually, anything by Tool I will listen to. Although you got to be careful. If you listen to it at night, you might start dozing off because they get into some of their more like trancey type things, and you want to avoid that. I'd say anything with a good beat that you can listen to. I mean, it really is just, you know, you're asking a very subjective question.
Yes, I am.
And asking
for
an objective answer, so that's tough to do.
I like his answer. Whatever you want.
Whatever you
want
to listen
boss.
To.
That's what I heard. I heard him call me boss in my head somewhere. Yes, Jessica's. How about Jessica is a good place to start.
That's a
great road trip song.
That's why I always say Mountain Song by the Allman Brothers, because your trip's half over.
Yep.
It's a 30-minute song.
Any questions that you have on the music front there, Ryan?
Not on the music. I want to go. I do want to say one thing, because another issue you were very outspoken about, no punters in the Hall of Fame. You were now playing for the Raiders.
Yep.
Were you tempted at all to walk in and say, I will have that number 8 place?
Well, I think, was it Matt Flynn has it? Is it Matt Flynn or Tyler McGloin, I think, has it right now. Well, I mean, the thing is that,
what an outrage.
It's Ray Guy's number, and
I would get it off Matt Flynn's back. Put it on your own.
I would prefer to let Ray Guy's number remain Ray Guy's number. I mean, it would be cool to wear it for a game or two, but at the same time, you know, so many people know me as number 5 now that I was like, okay, cool, I get to keep number 5.
That's, Donovan that's McNabb awesome. Didn't.
Yeah. Well, I did get, you know, some mentions of the band out of it, so.
That was cool.
I got some, you know, some worth. But no, it really is the kind of depressing the fact that there's a whole segment of the game that if your only knowledge of football was by going to the Hall of Fame and looking at the all-time greats, you would know nothing about punting. You would know nothing about special teams coverage guys. You would know that there was one kicker.
Yeah.
It's like, really, we can't recognize the guys who changed the game at their position and understand that that is the definition of being a Hall of Famer. You impacted the game so greatly that people know your name because of what you did at your position.
Yeah, ain't that right? And in general, with the kickers, I always say, in fact, I submit that kickers should be required to play 5 downs from the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. because this is not at all what they had in mind when the game was invented, that guys would be so good at doing it. Mm-hmm. It sort of has now changed strategies. I mean, you know, the idea of 56-yard field goals, mm-hmm. and punts that you can bury inside the 10 consistently. Yeah, of course those guys belong in the Hall of Fame. Okay, so we got to wrap. See, we could go on and on, but I'm already being told by Black Tie we got to wrap it up. A couple more questions for you then. Why don't you like lists? Because we both like lists. We both love them, in fact.
That was kind of a self-aware part in the book that I'd just written this list of things I didn't like. I'm like, well, you know, I don't like people who write lists. I don't like myself. Oh, what is going on? Inception horn. Boom.
Very strange. Yes.
No, yeah, I'll take that personally then. If people don't like who make lists,
then you don't like us. Right. Right.
A lot of people.
Oh, stop. Black Tie. We know he has to go. I really want to do about 2 more hours with him, actually.
No,
we're just getting started here.
He referenced the Inception horn, so.
Oh, I see. I missed it. Okay, I got you. Cluey, do you play Clue? I know that's a dumb question, but that must have happened when you were growing up. You must have been like, this is your friends must have said, hey, I brought it over. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I actually did play it when I was younger. And
who's your favorite guy? Or woman.
Colonel Mustard, obviously.
Correct.
I mean,
that's
it's,
correct
it's
answer.
Colonel Mustard.
You have 2 kids. You like to talk about parenting quite a bit. Best animated movie.
Ooh, best animated movie. I haven't shown it to them yet, but it's actually Princess Mononoke by by Miyazaki. It's
I did not know it.
I'm a big fan of Miyazaki's work. The ones they've released in the States are Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, and then I think Kiki's Delivery Service.
Hmm.
But he's, you know, really just fun, kid friendly animated movies that are really cool to watch. Right now, their favorite one is Monsters, Inc., which is...
I just saw Monsters U last week, which was good.
And then
I saw Despicable Me Part 2
I wanna
see weekend.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
So you saw it?
They're neck and neck. I'm going to go like this for you just to lay it on you. I go Monsters U by a whisker over Despicable Me 2, then Epic, then the Croods of the fare that we've been delivered
the ones
in 2013
that have been...
so far. Yeah.
So where do you think Planes is going to rank and all that?
I have a bad feeling about it because of Dane Cook. You know, I'm not a big Dane Cook guy.
Well, I saw the preview and I'm just like, really? This is a movie? Like,
well, you know what's coming in 2015 is boats.
Boats, obviously. Yeah, and then spaceships in 2020.
All right. Black Tie Behind the Glass is getting all out of joint because it's time for you to go. But Chris Cluey, what a pleasure.
He has a schedule to keep, Damashek. It's not me. Don't,
I know,
don't point thing, is it me?
I want to do a hard-hitting 2-hour interview with him on this, that, and the other. But the book, again, beautifully unique Sparkle Ponies. You're getting into the studio with the fellas of Tripping Icarus to make your first album. Your fourth album.
Fourth
I'm sorry. We should play him out with some of his own music. Is that cool, or would we get in trouble with licensing?
Yeah, no. Just pick a good song.
All right. You tell us what song to play out to.
Misery is pretty good. It's got a good opening riff.
All right. Do that, Black Tie. As he leaves, I want you to get that one out there. Chris Cluey, good luck with the Raiders. Go get him in 2013. I like Rank's idea. Number 8 for just one game.
Yep.
Even in the preseason, it'll get some attention to it. Yeah.
I'll see if I can make it happen. If nothing else, I could just tape over the edges of the 5 and turn it into an 8.
All right. And good luck with the the animated movies
good
coming
sense of humor
up.
About making fun of your uniform.
I've seen that.
All right, Chris Cluey and the Bruins are going to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the mighty Bruins, they've gotten a lot better than when I was there. I did a lot of punting when I was there.
All right. Well, listen, I like him a lot for a guy who walks into Studio 66 in makeup.
Yep.
That's a classy move.
It
he
is.
Wants to look his best for us.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets dressed up.
Yeah.
We not as much.
You got to doll it up for radio.
All right, Cluey. Go get him up in the Bay Area.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, man. All right, there he goes. And now, Black Tie, give us just a taste here. We'll play the full song at the end of the episode, but just give us a taste of some Tripping Icarus now.
And I have just my dream.
I like it. Very nice. I see the inspiration of what he's talking about, the grunge music there. Tool. He's a big Tool fan. I like that.
Yep.
All right. Either way, it's easy to get self-righteous when you talk to people that are doing good work, like somehow I deserve some reflected praise for having them on. I don't want to come off that way. But Jared Allen doing great work with returning vets who were injured overseas, and then Chris Cluey fighting another fight entirely, but a righteous cause in my book as well. So kudos to both those nice fellas. See, everybody wants that's a big story. Black Tie, we started off you know, whatever it was, half hour, 45 minutes or so ago, he was talking about it's been a bad summer for in the NFL because of Aaron Hernandez. But let's keep in mind, they're good fellas like this, and they outnumber the bad fellas by quite a bit there. So good for both those guys, and good for us. And congratulations to Jared Allen on having more Twitter followers than Chris Cluey. Yes, Black Tie.
Quickly, so we're about to wrap the show, and I remember it was a few shows ago, Rank put out the idea of, you guys brought out the idea of me recapping the show, giving like three things I like, three things I don't like. I haven't
that
since
doesn't,
done.
That doesn't
three
sound like
and
me.
Three. Who wants
or
to
like
hear
two.
You go
I haven't,
on and on?
I haven't really. Yeah, me neither. I don't get paid
the
at all.
The show's been like an hour and a half already.
But,
how much more does anybody want to hear
have,
on any of us?
I do have a couple of tidbits right. here.
Go ahead.
Reportedly, about $43 million guaranteed for Stafford. Just throwing that out there. You probably know the exact figures when you do listen to this, so this is kind of pointless. A Seahawk.
I'm glad you injected that I have to do this, and now I'm going to share this, but you already know better than I do, yeah. So ignore the last 27 seconds.
A Seahawk
seconds.
Is an osprey. It's a fish-eating carnivore. Can be ruthless, though. When food is scarce, apparently, it's likely to leave their offspring to starve. So it's up
care.
To Jared Allen.
I got Jared Allen in that one.
Okay.
That's an easy one.
All right, lastly,
now,
you
when
know,
he fights a Bengal tiger, I don't know.
You don't
that
know about
one,
that.
I'm not as confident.
Lastly, this show has had quite a few themes. You know, like every Mad Men episode always has that theme, an underlining theme, a recurring theme. Mm-hmm. This show, there's a lot of Remember the Titans talk for some reason. And I love how both of you guys nodded to Jared Allen saying, hey, remember when you, like, in Remember the Titans, even though you both admitted to not having not seen that movie.
What are you talking
just
about?
Just before he called it. Well, Damashek admitted to not having seen that movie. But he agreed to Jared Allen like he had seen the movie.
No, I thought that he connected Titan with Remember the Titan, so I tip my cap to him.
Yeah, but you
should
still
I have stopped?
Seen the
should
yeah,
I have stopped his point by saying, "Oh, just so you know, Jared Allen, I haven't seen the movie."
Should have been
spoiler
honest.
Alert.
Exactly. That's my point.
All right. Okay.
That's my point. All and right. obviously, the last theme was a lot of Vikings, so I'm done. Good show, though.
Wait a second. You just pointed out that we talked to a current and past Viking?
Yep. A lot
that's
of Vikings.
Your wrap-up? Mass,
that's my wrap-up, guys. That's the theme of the show. Remember the Titans and Vikings.
Speaking of Remember the Titans, please forget the last 3 minutes of this show and remember not just the Titans, but also that Adam Rank has up at NFL.com right now. It's wrapping up the NFL.com. Football movie tournament, and also make sure you get over to NFL.com and cast your vote on the greatest uniform in NFL history bracket. By the way, one thing I should mention about that is a lot of people have pointed out, oh, there's no submit button or there's no enter button. I know it's weird. We're so conditioned
it
to
is,
hit
yeah.
that button that all you have to do is make your check marks and that's it. So I know a lot because I get a lot of tweets about that at Damashek and I am also confused by it, but apparently you just make your check marks and magically they are registered. Also, follow Rank at Adam Rank. And thanks to Mark Sessler at Mark Sessler NFL and Handsome Hank at NFL UK. Jared Allen and Chris Cluey already have way more followers than any of us have, so I'm not going to promote their Twitter. So but I will
it's
promote
NFL UK Hank.
Did I not say that?
I think you just said NFL UK.
Oh, UK Hank. I'm sorry. And Jared Allen, Homes for Wounded Warriors. Boy, I don't know why I can't say that. HomesForWoundedWarriors.com, a great cause. Make sure you check that one out. And all right. So with that being said, I think we've said more than enough. But we will be back with another episode for you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. And now let's play the full song, Black Tie, from Tripping Icarus, Chris Cluey's band. We'll talk to you later.
Another day of a little light.
see.